Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. How many of you are Twitchers? Oh, what's a Twitcher, you may ask? Well, it's the name associated with bird watchers. Tonight I'm talking about birds, the feathered kind, of course, on this programme, and the Big Garden Bird Watch, which is organised by the RSPB. Why do they do it, and how can we get involved? Well, Beth Markey from the RSPB England joins me on the line to tell me more. Good evening, Beth.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you very much for joining me, Beth. First of all, for anybody who is unfamiliar with the work of the RSPB, talk to me about its history and how long you've been in operation.
Well, the RSPB actually has quite a fascinating history. So for those that are unaware, the RSPB is the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. And yeah, we've got a really fascinating history, actually. We were founded in the 1880s by an extraordinary woman called Emily Williamson. And she was absolutely determined to fight against feathers being used in fashion. And she partnered with some other incredible women. They joined forces and together they founded the Society for the Protection of Birds, which later became the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. And we're still going strong today.
Tell me about your main aims, Beth, and I suppose they will have changed over the years to the changing times, wouldn't they?
I mean, in a way, we've obviously grown a lot since then, but we're the largest conservation organisation in Europe, so we've got a lot of projects going on, but our mission overall, our main aim is to protect nature, and whether that's fighting the big fight on behalf of wildlife or protecting the homes where wildlife lives, or just working tirelessly to save species on the brink of extinction. We do all that we can, really, to try and protect nature.
Absolutely. So when you're out and about walking or wherever, what sort of birds spark your interest? What are your favourites?
My particular favourite? Mm. Do you know, I'm not what you might call a typical twitcher. I'm really excited by the more common ones that you see. For me, the joy of bird watching is in kind of what hides in the trees, and you know, if you just stop and watch, you might see a bit of movement and then get your binoculars out, and then it's just being able to work out what that species is. And for me as well, they say that 80% of bird watching is listening, and so once you start to be able to identify the different songs of birds, it's like being able to speak another language. It's amazing.
It's true about listening. We were alluding to listening in the first interview, but you're quite right. And where I live in the country, and my house backs onto a field. But at the end of my cul-de-sac, I've got the start of some woods. And if you're very quiet at night, particularly if I'm lying in bed and I've got the window open ajar, I hear the owls, and is it the tawny owl that screeches? I can't remember now, but there's an owl that makes a heck of a noise at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you hear the traditional sort of twit-to-woo kind of thing, and all sorts of things go on.
Yeah, the twit-to-woo, that's the tawny owl that you're hearing. Screeching, that might be a barn owl.
Thank you.
But yes, I mean, I've been out walking every morning for the last week, and I've been hearing songs. I've heard a lot of song thrushes lately, and they're so loud. They've got, you know them when you hear them, because they've got quite a repetitive sound, and they're incredibly loud. And so I've spent my last week kind of going on the hunt, trying to track them down. And as soon as you find them, they're quite elusive. They camouflage in well. So as soon as you spot them, it's really exciting, I find. But yes, I've got it.
One of my friends, who doesn't live a million miles away from me, put something on his social media recently where he's tamed and trained a robin to eat mealworms from the palm of his hand. And there he's put a video on his social media where over a 3-month period he was able to do that. Now, I mean, that takes some doings, because robins, they can be quite elusive as well. But I was impressed that, you know, that he achieved that in such a short space of time.
Yeah, it is possible. It takes a lot of patience, but I mean, birds will go where they think there's safety and there's food. And if you're still enough and patient enough, then they'll start to learn to trust you and eat out your hand. But as I say, it just takes patience. Once it happens, it's a really amazing feeling. I've never had the patience to be able to do it myself, but mm-hmm. I've got friends that have gone out and done it, and I get a little bit jealous whenever I see their videos.
Well, sort of late last summer, early autumn, I had a parakeet that took a shine to the handle of my French doors, and it used to come every day at the same time and peck at the glass, and I think it saw its reflection in the glass, and then it scared itself and flew off, and it kept going through this process. And it's disappeared, and I'm assuming that's now flown somewhere else for warmer weather. So I'm hoping it'll be back this year.
Yeah, I mean, it could be anything. If it was reflective, then it could have just been that it thought it was seeing a different parakeet and it was trying to attack it. Could be for several reasons, but yes, it obviously learned. it wasn't going to get anywhere.
No, that's right. Talk to me, Beth, about the Big Garden Bird Watch, because they were talking about this on Spring Watch, I think it was, on BBC Two this week, and they were talking about it last night, actually. Or Winter Watch, I can't remember which watch it is.
We're on Winter Watch now. So the Big Garden Bird Watch is the RFPB's biggest campaign. It takes place in the last weekend of January every year. So this weekend, that's the 28th, the Friday the 28th to Sunday the 30th of January. And what we ask people to simply do is go out into their garden or park or local outdoor space and just sit and count the birds that land for an hour, record those results and send them back to us. And from that, we can get a host of data that's really important in giving us a snapshot of how our garden birds are faring.
And what will you do with that data?
Well, the Big Garden Bird Watch has been running for, I think it's in its 43rd year now, so it's been going for quite a long time. It started in the 1970s. And so over that time, we've had some really interesting trends. We've been able to see quite significant trends in how our garden birds are doing. And some of the data is quite staggering, actually. Birds like house sparrows, which you see everywhere, very commonly, they've declined by 60% since the survey first began. Even starlings, a figure that really stood out to me is that once upon a time, when the Big Garden Bird Watch first began, you'd see an average of 15 starlings in a garden. Now you see an average of 3. And these are birds that you see all the time. You just wouldn't believe that they're in trouble. House sparrows are on the red list as a species of conservation concern. So you wouldn't believe. I think that's true anyway. I might have to go back and check that one. I think that's the case. So, you wouldn't believe that these birds are in trouble. But just having that data going back over such a long period of time, even if we don't see much difference in the rankings year to year, just being able to see the difference over that period of time helps us realise just how our garden birds are faring. And from that, we can do something about it.
And of course, birds, all species of birds, are crucial to our ecological systems. How do we benefit from having them?
Well, much in the same way that we benefit from having all native species around us. Every living creature feeds into the natural cycle in one way or another, and as soon as you remove something from that, then it creates knock-on effect. Mm-hmm. So they're important in much the same way that all living creatures really feed in and benefit one another.
So when will the data be released from this year's watch?
This year the data is going to be released in April. So we'll have the results back in then, and we can narrow it down on a county by county basis as well. So we don't just look at the UK, we don't just take in the UK or the England rankings. We break it down by county and even by city.
Oh right, so it is really quite finite then.
Yeah, just so that we can get an idea from place to place. How our garden birds are doing, and so we can notice any significant trends.
For people who live in the centre of towns or in high-rise flats, for example, how can they get involved? Because if they haven't got much greenery or natural habitat around them, they may not see so many birds.
Birds are everywhere. I mean, if you sit still and look for long enough, then you'd be surprised at what you see. And the other thing to note as well is that even if you don't see anything, we still ask people to send in their data, because it's just as important. To us, having the data where people say they haven't seen anything is just as important as the people who say they have seen things. Mm. So from any information we get is important. But yeah, I mean, urban bird watching is, you see a lot more than you realise. Birds, they're quite elusive, but yes, you know, in a city centre, they're more visible. Whereas they can't hide away in bushes or trees like they can out in the countryside.
No, that's very true. How has climate change affected the work that you do?
Well, climate change is really one of the greatest long-term threats to wildlife and humans. And I would say it's pretty much shaped and defined everything we do moving forward. So much of our work takes place on the ground, on nature reserves, and everything from the drier summers to the change in timings, in the kind of the emergence of different species. So what you were just saying then about like why we need birds, the way that climate change works obviously is things, if it gets hotter, then certain species might emerge sooner or later, and suddenly birds struggle to find things to feed on. So I mean, that really affects our work that's taking place on the ground, and we've had to overhaul pretty much the way we manage everything with the climate in mind and rethink our plans year to year, because there's so much unpredictability with it all.
Sure. So where does your funding come from, Beth? Because obviously you're a charity, aren't you?
Yeah, so we are a charity. So the majority of our funding comes from our wonderful members. We're lucky enough to have over 1 million of them, and they help us protect and preserve some critical spaces for nature. We absolutely couldn't do what we do without them.
So I guess we can join up and be members if we want to.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just head to the RSPB website, it's very easy to sign up. And from our perspective, the memberships that our members help fund critical projects, but from the members' perspective as well, you get access to some really incredible places across the UK, access to events, incredible opportunities to get out into nature. Around Birmingham, there are some really beautiful reserves like Sandwell Valley, Middleton Lakes, Coombs and Consol Woods. Mm. There's just some beautiful places in and around Birmingham, kind of hidden gems a lot of the time.
Sure, that's very often the case, isn't it? People go, oh, I went so-and-so and I didn't know it was there. I didn't know there was a park there. And of course, lots of greenery and open spaces. And then you see all these different birds, as you quite rightly say. So the Big Garden Bird Watch, then, that's between the 28th and the 30th of January. So that's when you want the data capture from us. How can we take part in that then?
Yeah, so it's very simple. You just need to head to rspb.org.uk/birdwatch to sign up. And that's also the place where you'll send your results back to. And I will say as well that if you don't feel particularly savvy on birds, and you feel like you don't know maybe a great tit from a blue tit or even maybe a robin from a blackbird, there's some brilliant resources on there to help you identify birds. There's downloadable sheets which you can print off and take out with you. They're very good visual guides. So you can if you take out a pen, you can look down and it's very easy to be able to identify the birds that you see from that.
Super. But for people who are not perhaps don't have access to the internet or are not able to use the internet, is there another way around this?
Yeah, you can join by post. I think actually the date for signing up by post has passed, so I would suggest probably the easiest way at this point is to find someone who does have internet access and sign up through them.
Okay, that's lovely. So that's the Big Garden Bird Watch, the 28th to the 30th of January this year. Beth Markey from RSPB England, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcast from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.